We've got a code. Use code VOLLYPOD for 20% off almost anything on the Art of Coaching Volleyball website, including premium memberships, coaching resources, and nearly all books. That's VOLLYPOD, VOLLEYPOD. Use it to save anytime you're on the site. Are you ready to take your volleyball game to the next level? Every week on the VOLLYPOD, we talk to two top coaches who share their secrets for success on the court. From drills to build skills to strategies for boosting confidence, you won't want to miss this valuable advice. Tune in now and elevate your game today.
Good evening and welcome to the VOLLYPOD, a special episode 100 time.
Numero 100,
we
Davis.
Made it.
And Sid Bennett is back with us.
So yes.
Sid, welcome back. So great that you could join us for both 99 and number 100.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled that we've been doing it this so long. So Todd, once again, thank you so much for having me be a part of this. I mean it. It's been a blast. I've learned so much. And if anything, I'm more inspired now to coach than ever before. It's just been so much fun doing the VOLLYPOD. I hope people are enjoying it too. If you guys ever have any topics, email us. We'll get them to us or message us on Instagram. That'd be awesome.
Davis, it's been awesome.
It's
how
so
fun is this? Every week we get to talk about volleyball, just what we love
our
to do.
Thing.
And now we have a... We get busy and go, we didn't talk after practice because I had to get home and do stuff. But now it's like, hey, the VOLLYPOD means that it is in our schedule.
That's right. That's right.
We're talking volleyball every week and it just doesn't get any better. Working with you has been wonderful.
So absolutely.
Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
We have a, we're doing our greatest hits.
Yes. This
we're
is gonna
going
be fun.
Greatest hits. So of 100 episodes. What are those things that really resonated with you when we kind of look back at all those episodes? And we're fortunate enough to have Sid with us. And so she's going to start out. Where are you going, Sid? What are you starting with?
Episode number 24. Davis talks about 10 tips for new coaches. I think this is an episode that every coach should listen to, whether you've been coaching for 2 months or 20 years. When you listen to the 10 tips, you just get creative and start thinking of different ways to how you should make sure that you're still referencing the things that you should have been doing when you were a new coach or when you're now a veteran coach. So some of the things I liked about it was the pace of practice, just making sure there's a lot of play, not standing around. And even if you've been coaching for 20 years, you can look at your practices and always see, were we standing too much or were we playing, things like that. Just always getting good evaluations of all your practices. Some other things he talks about was fast feedback. Are we giving too much feedback for too long of a period, or is it just really quick and then the girls can go back out and start playing again? And then one of my other things is that we talked about was coaches with high effort. Are we coaching high effort, or are we only congratulating the girls on when they actually do it right? Like, especially coaching the younger ages, I think we need to be more like giving positive feedback when they're doing what we want them to be doing, when they're trying to doing it, whether they're actually achieving it or if they're at least giving the effort that we want them to be doing.
That's a great point. It's hard. Volleyball is hard, right? It's like, you know, good try. That goes a long way. You know, I remember this one play when I was playing back in the day, and it's Jeff Conover, who works with the AVP, or he, I don't know if he still
I
does.
Jeff but, Conover,
great guy, and he's a great coach. And this play, hit this ball super hard, way out, and he just says to me, "You hit it hard." And I was like, "Okay, there's always something good to look for in the failure." But man, isn't that so true? Well, I think it's to me for this.
Okay.
One. So one of the hits for me was Todd's Rules of the Road episode. I believe, what episode number was that?
Let me look at that.
Let's
see,
check
what
it out.
We have here the Rules of the Road. I'm looking. I lost it here. Where is that? Here it is, 37. Sorry about that. Sorry for the wait there. Episode 37, Rules of the Road. So what do you remember about that?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, guys, all these will be in the show notes, just as, you know, you can click on them and go to the actual episode in case you find an episode that, you know, you want to check out. But obviously you can check them out on Spotify or anywhere else that you hear our podcast. But what I liked about that is this idea that movement creates energy, right? Movement creates enthusiasm, movement creates effort. And it's like, there's so, and especially for the youngest volleyball players, there's so much time when they're not touching the ball, right? What should they be doing? And scripting that for them, I thought was really important. And it just makes a lot of sound sense. Like, our team kind of lacks a little bit of that, and it's totally noticeable. It saves your team points in a lot of ways. And I'm wondering where those came for you, Todd. Like, did they pop up where you're just like, or did you like accumulate them, or did you kind of sit down one day and make a list?
No, they, over time, you know, they just made a lot of sense. You know, I mean, I had 20 years of running, over like 25 years of running low level 12s and 14s club volleyball. And so it, you know, we didn't have tryouts. They weren't ability grouped. It's just, hey, come one, come all. And we just, you know, had this kind of massive group training. And, you know, it got to me, you know, Kessel talks about that thing where, you know, in the Olympics, you know, you talk about the libero or something, and the amount of time the libero is contacting the ball in the Olympics,
right,
is, you know, like, you know, because the ball's hitting their platform for 1/100th of a second. And it's like, they got 11 seconds during the whole Olympics they were touching the volleyball. Right. Some crazy stat like that. Yeah. I don't know if that was a number.
Yeah.
It was, oh, wait a minute, what are they doing all the time they're not doing that? And so the idea that things are under-taught, and a couple things that always, I think, that we try to do maybe, and we emphasize that are often forgotten, is that idea of second ball defense.
Yes.
And that idea of, hey, we know that our teammate is in poor posture and is stressed on this attack, and yet I'm an attacker and I'm just transitioning to hit, thinking that the ball's going to the setter. When, wait a minute, that ball's not going to the setter.
Right.
That person has no, if the person gets the ball up, we're going to be lucky. Can you be in a second ball defense? And we look at those teams that, you know, Wisconsin is one of those teams that I see those kids just lay out for second balls. That, and they're not one, I mean, you know, the ones that are obvious, you know, to everybody watching are the ones that, you know, are high and go into the stands, and a person sprints over and kind of leans over the stand. You go, oh, that's so athletic or whatever. The ones that I'm thinking about are like the ball that shanked low in the middle of the court and the middle trans and, yes, then gets on her belly.
Yes.
You know, those stuff like best. That, you, yes, know. So that idea of second ball defense, the idea of that movement and coverage, and really, you know, covering with intent and with your eyes. And then, you know, for beginners, that idea of opening up and the idea of backing up.
Yes.
And, you know, we have, it's when you start the game, there's, you know, you're ball watching, you know, and kids aren't moving. And so trying to give them some specific rules saying, hey, when the ball goes over here, you're going to back this person up, and then rewarding them for that when they do it. So that's a big one for me. I'm glad you like that one.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
So you're up.
All right. 57.
Okay.
And this was one of mine, and it's adding two contact games,
oh, yes,
to your practice.
Yes. Super cool.
So, Sid knows that I'm a huge two contact guy. What do you think? What do you think of the two contact, Sid?
I like it because it gets the girls, well, there's more rallies that way. First of all, like when we start going into three, the girls are always messing it up or something's happening, but I think with the two contacts, they're getting more touches on it quicker. And then, of course, when we add in the yarn to it, then there's a shorter court. So then they have the ability to always be touching the ball and defending really well. So I like the two contact.
Cool. Yeah. And I think for beginners, a couple of things that I like too is the idea that, hey, kids are making decisions all the time. Should I hit this over? Should I jump and swing, or should I bump it over?
Right.
And when you're playing two contact, they get to that a lot quicker. And then it's faster because kids aren't like relaxing when the ball's hit three times and if the level's low, a lot of times the ball doesn't come back. And so, like Sid says, is that it encourages rallies. And you know me, I'm a huge rally guy. Yes. How can we prolong rallies? Rallies are fun. Rallies, and so I am into prolonging the rallies.
Yes.
Two contacts does it.
I like it. That's all. Now we're on to Sid. We got another one.
All right. What do you got, Sid?
Episode 35, practice great for players. So I think Davis is the one that talks about it, but are we bringing joy into practice from a player standpoint? I think this is really important to like emphasize the player rather than the coach in this scenario, because a coach can run a practice and think it was amazing. And then the players could have a completely different idea about that. But this episode talks about, are we adding different elements of joy and fun into practice? And as a coach, it's our job to initiate that. So whether that's our tone and body language or allowing them to have music, I think Todd in the episode talks about his high school, how they create a vibe when they first come in and they have music playing and the girls know that it's time to get ready for practice and it's a time to kind of turn off from school and go into practice mode and they get to have that music. And I know Davis with our practices, sometimes we'll let them have music. If we're not teaching, it's more like their warm-up time, things like that. And it just makes it more fun. Like that's why we're doing it. That's why we're coaching. We want them to have fun. So I think it's a really cool episode to think about different ways you can add joy.
Spread the love, David. Yeah. I love it.
Well, and you know, it's funny, even if you're not, doing anything in particular to have fun that day, like having just a tone of fun running throughout your practice. So like the other day we were running this fairly, you know, stern practice, and then our middle Riley legitimately hits the ball directly underneath the net on a one. And the girls just were rolling on the ground laughing. I couldn't help but laugh. You know what I mean? Like I was totally laughing with them. It's just like, we can enjoy the game even in our failures. And we're here playing together a game we love. I don't know. I'm not the best at it. I'm sure there's times that the kids are annoyed with me or whatever, but just the fact that I'm trying, I think, is important, and I want to get better with that. You know, it's just important. So,
well, and you talk about basic frameworks though, and we look at the amount of times we play in practice, the amount of times we're competing, some of the culture things that we've talked about in the past, and you have that vibe. And I think there's times when you can be stern. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think the kids know that. And the kids want to be pushed.
Right.
And when they're not pushed and they see that there aren't high standards, then they don't like that either. So I think that we have to be, there has to be that balance. And I think it's, hey, it's fun to improve. Kids want to improve. And does that mean sometimes we're stern and we're saying, hey, our tone of voice is a little more matter of fact or whatever. Yeah. But I don't think that's bad.
No, absolutely. So I love it. So it's to me.
All right. What do you got?
Okay. So I'm going to go with one that I did, but just because it was so fun to do, it's the tempo spread offense one.
Number 39.
Number 39, episode 39. I felt like I was teaching, you know, some high level volleyball there. I don't know, like tempo, you make choices, you know, decision making. I don't know. There's a lot that goes to it. And one of the biggest things, Todd, that I've taken from you in the recent years is you can go fast with your team and you don't have to have an elite setter, you know?
Yeah.
And we have really good setters this year on our club team, but you know, I guess just pushing the pace on that and making the blockers have to make decisions was one of those things that I really took on the tempo spread. And if you can force those decisions, then other things really open up wide. And man, you guys ran such a fast right side ball in high school. It was really difficult to stop. So I'm still getting there, but I loved doing that episode. And if you have balance in your offense, which is, I think should be your goal, then it gets really, really fun for the setter and for the hitters to, you know, see the block, you know, all those different factors. So, yeah,
it's a good reminder, I think, to all of us that as a young coach, I was thinking, no, you have to be a good setter. You're not good enough to do this, right?
Right.
We can't teach you how to go fast because you're not so good. Right. And probably about a decade ago, I had a kid. I don't know if you remember. She played a little club and then she stopped playing club. Christine Gaffney, awesome kid. I don't know if you remember.
I remember Christine.
But we had her setting and we're just going, hey, we're just going to have you go fast because we have Maddie Yu and she can go fast. So you're going to do it too. We're in a 6'2". Okay. And all of a sudden she's out there working with Maddie every day and she just learned how to do it. And she got good at it. And, she surprised me. So it was a good reminder that kids are better than we think.
Absolutely.
And, are some things that we think are that advanced, are they really that advanced?
Right.
Or is it just we haven't really put time into teaching them?
Right. Well, and the other thing I like about the tempo spread is we won a medal, Sid's team last year. Running one play and it was the tempo spread offense. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to get fancy with it. You just have to execute correctly and make some choices. So I don't know. I thought it was really fun to do. I'm sure the 11s and 12 coaches were probably like, oh, what, but it was super fun to do. So anyways, that's mine. Now we're on to Todd.
I have one. This is going way back, episode 12.
Okay.
And I loved all three things we had here.
Okay.
So, Davis, you started out with short, deep passing.
Oh, yes. I remember
and
that.
And I just think short, deep passing, when you think about, oh, how do we pass? But when we think about, hey, can we learn how to adapt and pass this short ball? What do we do when this ball comes deep? Do we take it with two hands? Do we drop step? And you got into all the specifics because serve receive is tough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that. I mean, to me, short deep is way harder than left, right. Right. Yeah. And so just getting into some of that stuff. Yeah, that was fun. And that's when I was green. That's when I was just new to podcasting.
That's right.
Just throwing it out there.
That's it. And then my scenario is my team is too quiet.
Yes. I love that one. Yeah. Everyone says that.
Yeah. So that is something that I love getting into, and you have to be diligent with it. If you're not doing it all the time, you can't expect it to happen. It's got to be super consistent. And then it's, hey, what are those things that are real important? What are those things that are, do we want to just fill up the air with things that don't make a difference? And then targeting those things like, hey, the ball in the seam and serve receive, that's important.
Right.
Hitting that third ball over when it's between two people, that's important. The setter calling a name every time when the ball's in her hands, or saying I set every time and getting on your setter for not saying I set when the ball's passed right to target. When I was a young coach, I was like, oh, my setter's got to talk. But was there any meaning to that? And did that really mean anything?
Well, and that's one of the things that I've always heard from you on the scenarios is it true?
Yep.
Right? My team is too quiet. Well, is that true? Like you were saying, there's a distinction between being this effective talking team and a team that just talks a lot.
Right.
We've played against those ones that just chatter and it's just annoying.
Well, and the idea of, I think it's one of the kind of hot books out is like The Power of the Introvert. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
It's a book about introverts. And it's just saying that, wait a minute. As coaches, a lot of us aren't introverts. We're used to being in front of people talking. We're pretty comfortable. And what's it like if you're an introvert and you love volleyball?
Right.
And we're always thinking that, we should be this, my guess is, Sid, I never watched you compete. My guess is you had a pretty big personality when you competed. And so you got into coaching and that it was pretty natural for those players that have that big personality. But what's it like if you're an introvert? And what are those things that are really important? What are the standards that we set? And then what are the things that we say, wait a minute, that's not real important. We don't need to do that. Let's make sure we're emphasizing the right things here.
Really good point.
And then the last part of that was one of my favorite books, The Language of Learning.
Oh, yeah.
Into vocabulary, into sticky teaching. Get that book. That's all I can say.
Yes.
Who's next?
Sid. Cool. Sid, you're up.
It's me. Episode 96, handling parent meetings. So, a recent one. A very recent one. I think I chose this one just because being a young coach, a lot of times you can go into these meetings if you feel like you maybe aren't confident or don't have the experience and can't really talk about certain things. Like, this is a very good episode that touches on the most important parts of the parent meeting, basically, like not to go in defensive or hostile. I think it's very easy to come in with kind of like your back up against a wall feeling. But Todd talks about, like, you love the game, you love the kids, making sure the parent knows that when they leave that meeting. Like, are you, you don't need to go in with a list of she needs to work on this, this, and this to become better. It's more of just having a conversation and making sure that they know, like, you care about their kid when they leave that meeting. And I think that's really important, especially being a young coach. A lot of times you're kind of fearful of the text you get saying, like, got to go and have a meeting with me after this tournament. Things like that can be a little scary.
Well, and is there, you know, could you get some advice on the other end that says, hey, you got to be tough when you go in the parent. That parent's going to be intimidating you and you got to draw a line and you have to do this. And so then you come in with this kind of, you know, hardcore edge because you don't want a parent to walk all over you, and you're 25 and they're, you know, double your age or whatever. But then you come in and immediately give off this vibe, this negative vibe, and the parent walks away and goes, no wonder my kid's not having fun. You know? It's this negative vibe.
Well, I'll just add that we try so hard to be our best that we are sensitive about our work. You know what I mean? And so it's not necessarily a negative to feel that way, but to act on it or to put that off to the family is probably is not the best, right?
Easy to get defensive.
So easy in that. Yep. All right. So I think it's to me.
Yep.
All right. So I really liked the Joe Trinzi episode 61.
Joe Trinzi.
Yes. And this attitude, not attitude, I guess, but this idea of the Goldilocks method and how you can utilize this method on so many different things, right? And it goes so counter to this method that we all have now where you got to do it perfect. And he would say, just for people that haven't heard this episode, it's a great episode. And Joe Trinzi is amazing, you know, intellect, and he's just spot on so many things he says. But what I really liked about it is try the ways that don't work, feel what they feel like, and then you'll find ways that feel differently, better, and work differently, better. For you, I just think so often we're trying for the one perfect rep, right? And it's like, there is no one perfect rep. It's all about how your body feels through these movements and how they can retain that feeling if they want to be consistent in having a skill, right? And he was just so cool to talk to. I thought that was a great episode. What'd you think,
Todd? Yeah, no, Joe is, he just has this depth and breadth of experience. I mean, he's coaching pro volleyball in Korea right now.
Wow.
But he came up with his parents being club owners, so he's coached all levels.
Yeah.
And so the idea of teaching kids skills, and he talked about passing and talked
about. I loved
about,
that, yeah.
Went through some Goldilocks with passing.
Yep.
And, hey, how does this feel? How does this feel? How does this feel? Try this. And then what are you settling on? And when kids are in that guided discovery, it's stickier.
Absolutely. Right? And autonomy, right? Well, they have that autonomy to them where they feel more okay with making mistakes. Like, I feel a lot of times players feel that they're limited by technique, right? I have to do this. And it's like, no, you don't have to. It just helps a lot, right? There's lots of other ways to get the ball to go there. So anyways, very cool episode. So it's to you.
All right. Number 81.
Right.
You did one on this. I like both of ours in this. What to expect when you are trying to level up your team culture. This was one that was, it was cool to listen to you because starting off new programs isn't easy.
Yep.
And it just made me realize how fortunate I've been, you know, to be in one spot for so long where we're not really battling that culture battle. Club's a little bit different because the kids, you know, it's a new team every year. But when you're at a high school, and you're the new coach and kids have been together and you're the new person on the block, leveling up that culture is not always easy. Absolutely. What do you remember about that one?
Man, I remember that it didn't work for me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I remember that it was hard, but I think there was some battles that should have been fought that I fought, and I feel good about that, you know? And I think over time that pays off, right? In the short term, it may not pay off, right? Culture is like we've talked about on here many times. Culture is an everything thing. It's not just a one thing. So there's still lots of work to be done there. And, but yeah, I mean, it's so important to work on it. So.
All right. And then mine was common misperceptions for teaching, coaching kids volleyball.
I love this one too.
All right. And the first one was winning doesn't matter.
Yes.
And that, hey, we're competing every day in practice. And hey, it's more fun to win than it is to lose. So winning does matter.
Yes.
I mean, we have all this stuff that happens, you know, when we get kids up early in the morning and we have all this scorebook and all this crazy thing going and all the parents around. And then you're saying that winning doesn't, wait, everybody's getting up and going here to play this game and you're keeping score and you got refs. Winning, I mean, there's something about it. Now, it's not the most important thing.
Right.
And you can get carried away with it, obviously. But it does matter. And then the other one we talked about a little bit about before, to adequately prepare beginners, you have to emphasize three contacts.
Yes.
We talked about, I always talk about, I don't know if you heard this one, Sid. Tina's mom was a volleyball coach. So Tina is a coaching colleague at Coast, and her mom was a volleyball coach. And her mom, when Tina was growing up and in coaching, her mom would call it code red. Did you ever hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
Code red means, hey, this server's too good. We're bumping it over on one.
I like that. That's awesome.
Do what you gotta do sometimes.
Sometimes you do what you have to do, right? And it's, hey, so getting into those common misperceptions was kind of fun with that episode. So that's pretty good stuff. Sid, you have anything else for us?
I have one more that I don't know the episode,
okay,
but I think it's something that I definitely can get better at. And so I wanted to touch on it, but just using your assistant more. I think when you get into coaching, you either get assigned an assistant or you get to choose your assistant. But the episode talks about just like how we can use our assistants more and not just make them come to practice, feed balls to the girls. And I think Davis and I have done a really good job, and Carly with us, of like making sure we each have a role. We come into practice with ideas in our head already of what we want to be working on with each player. But I know when I'm coming into practice, I'm never just standing there feeding balls in. And I think as you become a better coach, you find ways to continue to give your assistants more roles or let them come into practice with more roles. But that's something I can always improve on. And I think almost all coaches can improve on that. So it's definitely a good episode to check out.
Really cool.
Yeah, you're doing a good job with that, Davis, because I come by you and you always have, you know, your coaches and little stations. Coaches look like they're engaged. They're giving specific feedback.
Yeah, well, and it was nice when I ruptured my Achilles, not that part, but when because they got to take over, though. And so they got a lot more, you know, confident and just time spent doing that. So that was really cool. Sid, do you have a resource for us before this episode wraps up here?
Yes, one of my favorite Instagram accounts, and it's actually one that one of my players' dads sent me, and so that's how I found it, but it's @WhatDrivesWinning, and it's all about coaching psychology, just growing as a coach, and it's not just for volleyball, it's for all sports, but it definitely gives some really good insights.
Yeah, they have, I know that one, they have a bunch of famous coaches from Gino Auriemma. I think they had Billy Donovan on there. Mm-hmm. And then the woman who runs it, I think her name is Becky Burley, I think is her name. And she was a longtime soccer coach at Florida. Very successful.
Nice.
Number 100, Davis.
We got 100 in the books. It has been wonderful. Those of you who like to check us out on our socials, please do at Instagram. On Instagram at aoc.thevolleypod and on Twitter, where we drop all our new episodes at The Volleypod. Thank you so much, Todd. Thank you so much, Sid.
Thanks for joining us for number 100. It was great having you.
Appreciate awesome. Everyone, and we'll see you on the next 100.
All right. Take care.